Father, as we just take a moment to open up your word, Father, would you prepare our hearts? Lord, we know that we sense your presence. We know you're ministering to individuals this morning. We ask, Lord Jesus, that all of our hearts would be open, ready to receive, ready to hear your voice, ready to receive your blessing, ready to be a blessing, whatever it is, Lord God, that we would hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Judges chapter 6, we're going to be looking at Gideon this morning. And I want to introduce you to Gideon. Gideon is probably not one that you would want to have on your A-team, even though he did amazing things for God. And you'll see in a little bit. If we took the time to really looked at the book of Judges and really got a good look at Gideon, we would see that God used him, but he had some issues. But I think that each one of us can relate to Gideon, because here's the thing about Gideon. Gideon is part of our struggle, because we all struggle at times, whether we're to be the Gideon, the leader, or we're ready to be Gideon, the helper. And we struggle with, okay, where do you have me? God, do you have me as a leader to take control of this? Do you have me as a helper that I should be a helpmate to these that are doing these other things? But the bottom line is this. God desires to use all of us. Say amen to that. God desires to use all of us, and it's our responsibility to find out where we fit in, how we fit into that picture of God's plan. So whether you're a doctor or a sausage filler, God has something for us and desires for us to do something. And Gideon did do great things, but if you were picking your A-team, it probably wouldn't, he wouldn't be one of those, because Gideon had flaws. Anybody here have flaws? And anyone here struggle at times because you think that you've messed up so bad that God can't use you? Just a couple of us, but at least we're being honest. Yeah, we've all been there. We've all realized that we have flaws. We've all realized that we've fallen short on some of the things that God has called us to in the past. We've all realized that that we've all messed up and have for a period of time. Hopefully we're past that and we see God's grace and God's mercy, but we've all messed up. But here's the great thing about God. God will use us in a unique way if we let him. Say amen to that. In a way that you're not even prepared to. It's something that you didn't even think was a talent God could use. If it's something that you would never have done, God will help you do it and be an encouragement there. Sometimes God needs polished, and sometimes God needs tainted. And we all have our place, don't we? And we all have somewhere where we can fit in. And what I mean by polished is maybe this is right in your wheelhouse, and God will use it, and you'll be the perfect fit. And other times, you're the tainted one. You're the one that you would never think that God would want you to do that, and then yet he uses us. See, he uses our talents, but God gets the best honor and glory is when you're not the right person in the world's eyes, but you were the perfect person in God's eyes. Say amen to that this morning. We can see that if you turn to Judges 6 here, we'll look at the tainted Gideon and who was asked by God to do something amazing. And you wouldn't have thought that it would have been him. And like I said before, you can learn a lot about a person's journey if you take the time to talk to them about it. Say amen to that. People have a story, and I love this. And if we would just get this as believers, if we would understand that God takes us on these journeys and we have a story to share, and if we would take the time to spend with each other, we would learn these stories and we would learn these journeys and we'd learn about other people's journeys, and we would see that our journeys may not seem so bad after you talk to somebody else. Say amen? when you're in that moment and you just think that you're all by yourself going through that, and then you listen and you hear from somebody else that's been where you're at and gone through it and is on the other side of it and bring you some encouragement and bring you some strength and give you some attaboys or attagirls when you need it at the right time. If you look at this text that we're looking at this morning, I want you to understand this as we read the chapter, so that, you know, I'm not trying to read a whole chapter or two. I want you to get the gist of this, that this text is taken with the climate for Israel as being backslidden. And keep that in mind as we read these texts, that the whole nation of Israel was backslidden. You know, seven years they were running from God, and this is where we're going to pick it up. Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor monkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to God for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." Scripture really paints a picture here. We see a disobedient Israel. We see a man being raised up to do what God had called him to do. We see 7 years they're being oppressed. And the scripture is plain. It's saying that the Lord allowed this to happen, allowed them to be oppressed, allowed them to have people invading them, defeating them, taking from them, and showing them that they need to stop sinning against God. Showing them that for Israel, it was very clear God was saying to them, stop sinning against me and start walking with me. Now, I want you to hear something here. I'm going to say this right up front. Hear me when I say this. Not every time you go through some hard times are you sinning against God. Say amen to that. Realize that. I'm telling you this morning, hear me when I'm saying this. When there are times that not everything that you go through is because you're sinning against God. There is sin in the world. There is evil in people. There are troubles and there's trials and bad things happen to good people and all of that. And the nation of Israel, though, knew that they were sinning against God. Amen? They knew that they were sinning. God had been speaking to them. God had showed them some things. They knew that they were sinning against God. Let me share an illustration here from childhood. This man had a fear that someone was under his bed at night. Every night that he went to bed, he feared that someone was under his bed. It got so bad that he decided that he was going to go see a psychiatrist about it. And the psychiatrist, after he shared his story and where he was at and all the things that were going on, he said, "I can help you." He says, "If you'll give me 1 year of your life, coming in here 3 times a week, I will solve the problem that you have." And the guy looks at him. He said, "Well, how much is this going to cost?" He says, $150 a session. He says, "Well, I'm going to have to sleep on that and get back to you." 6 months later, He runs into the psychiatrist in the store, in a store. And the psychiatrist comes over to him and he said, you know what? Hey, I haven't seen you for months. What's going on with your sleep problems that you think someone is under your bed? Why haven't you come and seen me about this? He said, well, $150 times three is over $20,000. He says, but I went to a Nazarene pastor and he fixed me for 10 bucks. He says, how in the world did this Nazarene pastor fix you for $10? He said, well, I came to the service. They took up an offering. I threw $10 in the offering. The pastor had a great message. He was standing at the back door at the end of the service. So I got a chance and I asked him. He said, what can I do to fix this sleeping problem? And the Nazarene pastor told me to cut the legs off the bed. Now nothing can get under the bed. Don't you think sometimes, that was pretty good. I messed up one this morning with Josh and I were talking, but this one came out all right. You got it, so that's good. Don't you think sometimes God tells us to simplify? The world has this whole big idea of how things should be done, and it usually you got a big cost or a big time strain or something involved. And then, you know, sometimes I think God just says, simplify it. Something's under your bed, cut the legs off. Nothing could get under there. Simple fix. Sometimes I think that we don't do the obvious because we don't think God can work in the obvious. And sometimes God does work in the obvious. Amen to that? Sometimes I overthink things. That's not a positive thing, and I'd be the first to say it. Sometimes I overthink things. I think I have to fix it. I have to do it in my time, and I have to do it in my strength, and I have to do it with my wisdom and all these things. And sometimes I overthink things, and I think God just sometimes wants to tell me, do the obvious. Simplify. Do what you're supposed to be doing, and let me take care of all these other things. The first thing that we need to go and do when we're in tough times is make sure we're right with the Lord. That's the obvious. That's the obvious. Make sure that we're right with God. And if we're not, we need to get right. And understand that everything that we do has a consequence, whether it's good or evil. There is a consequence involved in some way. Now here's the thing. The text this morning is talking about the Israel, the nation of Israel. So that nobody says that I've taken this out of context. Hear me when I say this. We're talking about the nation of Israel. But if God is speaking to you this morning, grab onto it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're looking at the nation of Israel, and we see that they're walking away from God. They're not believing God. They're not trusting God. They're not listening to God. They forgot some very important things. They forgot who they were. They forgot that they were the chosen people of God. They forgot how God had been there before and came through and brought them out of the wilderness and how they brought them away from bondage and all these other things. And then they forgot their purpose. And Gideon is coming to them and he's saying, look, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget who you are. And don't forget that you have purpose. The scripture says the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God, I believe, is looking here and he's saying, I blessed you and you've turned away from me. I brought you out of bondage and I've done some great things in your life in the past and you've forgotten. And yet you still do evil things in my sight. And then you have to understand this. Again, the nation of Israel, hard times that we go through is God's way of bringing us back. That whole nation needed to come back to God. That, you know, the United States needs to come back to God. Families need to come back to God. Churches need to start preaching the message Things have to be happening. We need to come back to God. Hard times are designed to do that, to bring us back to God. God's desire is never to destroy us. Can you say amen to that? Even those that reject God, his idea is not to destroy them. It's to bring them back, bring them into the fold, bring them into an attitude that loves God. The Lord's refining fire is meant to draw us closer, is help us to be who we're meant to be. Jeremiah 1, verse 10 says, "See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, but build and to plant." That was the plan. That's what God wanted for us in our lives. That's what God wants today in our lives. The call of God is a mystery to me because I don't understand how God decides who and what and how he does things. You say amen to that? His rational, if you're trying to figure out his rational, it doesn't make sense. And I'm just being honest. That's why this sinner from Milwaukee, Wisconsin stands at this pulpit this morning. Because I think God has a bit of a sense of humor. And just to show people that it's not always our talents, but God working through us. And then I sit and with the call that each one of us have this responsibility to find our calling. Because if we pick up this tent, we see Gideon, who is this man Gideon? We see this mighty warrior according to the word of God. We see this guy working in a wheat, thrashing wheat in a wine press, which means he's hiding from everyone so that they don't take it away from him. And verse 13 to me, we didn't read it, but it says this, "Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midians." I look at this and, I can picture Gideon in slang today. Say, "Excuse me? If you're in this, God, where are you? If you're in this, God, why is this happening to me?" And Gideon begins to make excuses. He talks about family issues and lack of talents and resources limited and all those things. But we all have purpose, amen? We all have purpose. We all should be coming. And one of the main purposes that none of us need to decide or have a Mount Sinai moment is we're all here to worship God. We're all a purpose is to worship God and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of that will fall into place, but we get it backwards. We mess up. When the Israelites cried out to God, God responded and called and raised up a man to do something that was needed. God called Gideon to lead the people back to him, to tear down false gods and to build an altar to God and to live your faith and stop hiding. Say amen to that this morning. Gideon was being called for a task and God chose him. I was called by God to be a pastor. I had a choice to say no. But here's the things that I learned. It's not good to tell God no. It's not good to tell him no. It's not good when we have a choice. Saying no is a choice, but it's not a good thing. Saying no to God has consequences. Saying no doesn't have to be the end of the story. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you may have said no for something that God wanted you to do, but you don't get off the hook that easy. You don't get off that easy. God says, "You're the person that I want to do this." And when you say yes, it goes a whole lot easier. Nothing good ever comes from refusing God. Now, I want you to see this whole fleece thing, and I'm watching my time here because time kind of got away from us. But I want you to pick this up and look at verse 36. Reading a couple verses there. Verse 36 to 40. Gideon called knows he's called, knows he has a purpose, but here this whole fleece thing that he goes through, and I want you to hear this. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all around the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is what happened. Boy, isn't that short there? And that's what happened. Then you look at Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, God, but let me just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. The whole fleece thing here was that God has a sense of humor. God gives us those opportunities. You want proof? He shows it to us. You want, okay, God, I understand that you just did that, because I love that, and that little part there, and then it happened. And then, God, can you do it this way? And does it the opposite way? We may not have all laid wool fleece down, but we've all been there. Say amen to that. We've all been there. We've all asked God to do something, show us. And then he showed us, and then we still don't get it. And we say, "Well, okay, God, that might have been a coincidence. So could you do it this way?" But we've all asked God in some way to show us that we're sure that he's in it. So I'm getting ready to close this morning, and here's my thought. Do you want to live life doing your own thing? And if you answer that yes, my next question is, how's that going for you? If God has asked you to do something and you've said no, how's that working out for you? All I know is I want to stand before God and account for what he's asked me to do. See, you don't have to account to God for what he's told me to do. I don't have to account to God for what he's told you to do. We have to account to God for what he asked us to do individually. And I'll end with this illustration. It's almost, and I can't remember the insurance commercial that I saw it on, but here's the gist of it. If I had to put a title to it, I would say almost. And it went something like this: a house that almost didn't burn down because a family almost installed smoke detectors and was almost saved by people who almost volunteered. And my closing thought to you is this: almost doesn't get it. Almost doesn't get it. Coulda, shoulda, woulda doesn't work. We've got to stop kidding ourselves and be open for what God wants. Amen to that this morning? Let me just close this part, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Susan to come for communion this morning. Father, that we would take a moment here and really just see that almost doesn't get it. Almost is really a lack of doing, especially if it's a motivation problem. Not finishing our tasks, not listening to us, not listening to you as we just do our own thing. And I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that each one of us would find purpose. Like I said, kiddingly, whether we're the doctor or the sausage filler, you have something for every one of us, Lord. May we find that purpose. For those that are called to be Gideons, let's be leaders. Those that are called to be Gideon helpers, let's be a supportive helper. That the bottom line is that the cause of Christ is moving forward. That servanthood is right in our hearts. And that you would get honor and glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.